Now, we know we're not alone in our bodies. We've evolved with all sorts of microorganisms, onners and inners, and the gut, of course, has an important role to play in the process of digestion. So how could the gut microbiome get involved here? Katarina Johnson researches connections between the microbiome, the brain, and our behaviour at Oxford University. And I asked Katarina to explain what is understood about how the microbes in our gut could be influencing our appetite.
We think of our gut largely as somewhere that we digest our food, and obviously that's a key part of it. But there's so much more that goes on beyond that in the way that our gut can communicate with our immune system, our nervous system, and our hormones. And so one aspect to do with this is that we think that our gut microbes may actually have some effect on our appetite control and hunger through interacting with our body's own hormones and also nervous system, especially the vagus nerve.
Now, last time we spoke, this was actually for another Naked Neuroscience episode about gut feelings. We talked a little bit about perhaps what you eat is relevant in the question of how eating and gut microbes are related. But from what you said last time, I got the sense that we don't really know that much about the specifics in terms of specific dietary choices. Is that fair enough?
Yes, the one definite is that fibre is really beneficial for our gut and gut health. And that's true also when it comes to potentially affecting our feelings of hunger and satiety. When our gut microbes break down our food, which we call microbial fermentation, they release lots of different chemicals. And in particular, when microbes break down fibre, they produce short-chain fatty acids. And we actually know that these can affect the levels of our hormones that are involved in appetite regulation. So that might actually be one reason why we feel fuller for longer when we eat a lot of fiber, because actually when this fiber is broken down, it produces these short-chain fatty acids that regulate our gut hormones, such as peptide, tyrosine, glucagon-like peptide. And we actually know, for example, that the short-chain fatty acid butyrate promotes the feelings of satiety. I mean, these short-chain fatty acids actually have a really diverse range of effects on the body and our physiology. So not only do they affect our appetite control, but they can also affect our behaviour and cognition. And they're actually small enough that they can, in some cases, cross the blood-brain barrier. So they can get directly from our blood circulation into our brain.
There are a couple of different categories of fibre that we can eat. The type that Katarina's referring to in terms of fermentation is soluble fibre. Think soft, moist fibre, fruit, veg, pulses, which blends with water to make a gel. It's perhaps less well known than its famous counterpart, insoluble fibre. Think roughage, the stringy nature of celery, sweet corn, things that don't mash up. But fibre isn't the only context in which gut microbes get involved with our food.
We do think that they play a role in laying down fat deposits and helping us to metabolize food. And it's quite a controversial area, but we think that some types of bacteria are better at extracting nutrients from food than others. Other types of bacteria. And this might actually be one reason why some people are prone to putting on weight and some people tend to be quite slim. It might actually be that the slim people have less efficient microbes, so they extract less nutrients from their food.
Katarina explained to me that in general, more diversity in the microbes in your gut tends to be linked to good health, and more diversity in the diet tends to be linked to diversity in the gut microbes. After all, different microbes like to break down different types of food. So I wondered, could a problem with your gut microbiome lead to your eating behaviour changing for the worse?
We don't know this area in detail, but we know that the gut microbiome interacts with lots of hormones and neuropeptides. And so, for example, our hormones that control appetite, particularly ghrelin, which is associated with the feeling of hunger, and leptin, which is associated with us feeling full. So if we disrupt our gut microbiome, it may well influence these hormones and might make us, for example, more hungry. Although, on the other hand, we have to be kind of careful that we don't put too much agency on the bacteria. So there's this kind of temptation to think that they might manipulate our eating behavior, you know, perhaps for their own means to make us eat, you know, certain foods. But if we consider this, you know, scenario using evolutionary theory, this kind of manipulation is unlikely to be the case because we have such an immense diversity of microbial species and strains that live in our gut. So, for example, imagine there was a, you know, bacteria that went to a bit of an extra effort to produce a signaling chemical to manipulate our eating behavior. This bacteria wouldn't actually last very long in the gut because it would be outcompeted by all the other bacteria that weren't making this, you know, additional energetic investment. So for sure, our gut microbiome influences our appetite control, but probably not in a way that is kind of purposeful or, you know, to manipulate the behavior of the host.
I see. And I guess you've got to be careful that you're not equating potential correlation to potential causation, right, in this relationship.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Katarina shared a couple of other interesting research highlights from the world of gut microbes and appetite.
We tend to think that when we feel full, it's kind of our stomach or our intestines that, you know, have stretched. But gut bacteria, there's some research suggesting that they might also be involved in, you know, affecting how full we feel. So basically, the researchers looked at proteins that are produced by the common bacteria in our gut, E. coli. And they found that about 20 minutes after feeding, the study was done in animals and mice and rats, but the E. coli basically started producing a different set of proteins. And it was interesting that it was 20 minutes after feeding, because that tends to be the amount of time that it takes someone to feel full. So they wondered whether these proteins produced by the bacteria were contributing to this feeling of fullness. So basically, they took these proteins and injected them into rats, mice, and they actually found that the rodents reduced their food intake independent of whether they were hungry or whether they'd just eaten. The proteins that are produced by the bacteria actually stimulated the release of hormones that we know are implicated in regulating our satiety. Another finding from their research was that the animal's bloodstream had a chemical in that derived from the bacteria, which actually increased the firing of brain neurons that help to diminish their appetite. Yeah, it's quite interesting because these proteins that are produced by E. coli can actually be involved in the same molecular pathways that are used by our own body to signal when we're full up.
Much more still to learn, of course, but interesting stuff. Thanks so much, Katarina Johnson from Oxford University.